Scripture reading comes from the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke, part of the Nativity story, or leading up to the Nativity story, and I'll explain during the message why we are reading from Luke 1 here in the month of May. So Luke 1:39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Praise be to God for his mighty word. Amen."
Please stand if you are able, and let us sing our sermon hymn. Our sermon hymn is Sweet Hour of Prayer, and it is found on page number 7 of our bulletin. So let us sing.
This past week, I enjoyed a couple of days at the Basics Conference for Pastors. It was held at Parkside Church in Solon, Ohio, which is a city a little southeast of Cleveland. There were 3 keynote speakers. Each got to speak twice, and then there were breakout sessions. There were 5 workshops, and so those 3 and 2 others, and they offered those a couple of different times. And so you got to sit on 2 of those breakout sessions. All of the sessions that I attended were held in the sanctuary that probably could hold at least 2,000 people. So it was nice and large, and I got to do what you're doing. I got to sit out there and relax. I got to pay attention when I wanted to pay attention. Did I really just say that? You know, every once in a while you can, you know, your mind goes in. I did that. It was fun to be able to stand out there and follow the singing that was going on. Every session began with a couple of songs or hymns and ended with prayer. And the end of the day, Tuesday night and Wednesday night, we can try this sometime, there was open Q&A. So anybody could ask a question of the 3 keynote speakers. Now, you had to submit your questions by email ahead of time. No, you couldn't catch the keynotes off guard, those kind of things. But it was enjoyable to sit out and to worship and to learn from three keynote speakers. They're all pastors. Two of them pastor a local church. The host pastor, again, is at Parkside. He's been there since 1983. I did the math. He is 72, and he is retiring in a month. On June 8th will be his last Sunday. Another pastor pastors a church in Scotland, and the third was a pastor, but he now leads a ministry. He is the president and co-founder of a ministry that provides biblical education to students around the world for free. And I'll talk a little bit more about that during the message as well. There was not a clock in the front to keep track of the time. They just spoke. But it was interesting, some of the comments I get over the years, some of the places I have visited, each of those keynote speakers stood at the lectern the whole time. They didn't wander around. They didn't walk up and down. And all of them use notes or an outline. I have been asked over the years, how come you just don't speak by the Spirit? And I said, well, I do speak by the Spirit. The Spirit has just prepared me during the week to what I was going to share. So even not just the words that they offered, but just by some of their actions and their habits, they were affirming. So I've got about 12 to 14 hours of conference that I want to share with you, but not today. Those will come over the next months, probably not even until the fall. But there are three things that I felt led to share with you this morning from the conference, and I'll share them briefly. So that pastor that co-founded and is president of the ministry providing biblical education to students around the world, a lot of focus overseas, he offered something that, in his experience, the best way to prepare to be a pastor or a preacher of the gospel, because there are pastors that don't preach. You know, here at St. John's, we get to do both. But for the best kind of education and experience, it happens together. Often seminaries, you are taking classes for 3 years. Sometimes you have an internship, but the best way that they try to teach today is to have the education of Bible and theology happen at the same time where the student is involved in a place of ministry. And as I listened to him share that, I again felt validated. When I came back to St. John's in 1996, you blessed me to be able to be a student associate pastor for 10 years. 8 of those years, I was part-time at Weinbrenner Seminary in Findlay and serving here full-time. And so I did what this pastor was recommending and suggesting. So thank you for allowing me to have all that education mirrored up with experience. And hopefully that's paid benefits in the years since. One point that the host pastor raised in one of his presentations was about the hesitancy of being a pastor. Not of being a pastor, but the hesitancy it comes when you speak, you have the ability to offend people. People may not want to hear what you have to say. Now, it can be biblical truth, but in what you're dealing with and every, you know, well, there's that hesitancy. We know, we try to know the truth of the scriptures. We study, and I form these messages with the Spirit's involvement. But there's always that concern that I'm going to offend somebody. In the reality of, I know I have offended people. They've let me know that, or they have left the church. That's not just an Eric Christman problem. I learned that whether you pastor a church of 12 to 5,000, that hesitancy is there. And it's not just happening when we preach, but it's also when we counsel and when we teach. And then the third one was a phrase from the final keynote speaker, a three-word phrase I want us all to not only remember, but to live by. Word before world. Can you remember that one? Word before world. This pastor and several of the others, they are news junkies. They read multiple newspapers. They check all the websites. They want to know what's happening in the world. I'm not so much there, but I do try to keep track of some of the news. But they would get anxious about what they were reading. They're going, how is this going to impact the ministry? What should I be saying about this from the pulpit? And then they each slowly realized the Word makes sense of the world. The Word being the Word of God, the Bible, that they started beginning their days with reading devotion, reading the Scriptures, studying, and then that put them in the proper frame of mind to address all that was coming in from the news feed. So, Word before world. Again, there are several other lessons that I gleaned from the conference, but I'll hold those off for the future, because this congregation doesn't hold to what some people believe. You know, last Sunday I was short, so I built up 10 extra minutes in credit that I could use this Sunday. That has never really been the case in reality, so. Heartbeat. Heartbeat is the name of the monthly newsletter that Toledo Gospel Rescue Mission puts out. TGRM is one of the homeless ministries that we support, that based in Toledo, and their president puts a devotional in Heartbeat. I read an issue of August 2024, and that is the basis for my message this morning. It struck me in reading that in August of 2024 that here the executive director of TGRM, her name is here somewhere, Bonnie Fry Mankey, there it is. She's a pastor. She was using Luke chapter 1 in August to talk about life. You don't talk about Luke chapter 1 outside of the season of Advent. We're allowed to study all of the account of the birth of Jesus during the rest of the year, but that's what was going on. I have no idea what's going on back there, but there are several people moving to take care of somebody. So let's bow in prayer. Lord God, the situation here in the gym this day, we pray for your spirit. We thank you for those that are caring, and we pray for that person that is having this issue. Lord, may your will be accomplished through the caring nature of the congregation. In Christ we pray, amen. So thanks for that response. And we circle back. So, number one, she's validating the fact that we can talk about Luke chapter 1 throughout any aspect of the year. And we'll just give it a break, and I'm sure people that are distracted back there. They're wheeling her out in a wheelchair, so. And we're blessed to have another EMT present today. Let our prayers continue. So it's good to read the accounts of Mary and Joseph, of Elizabeth and Zechariah, of the angel Gabriel, and the shepherds and the kings, and baby Jesus, beyond the month of the season of Advent. Bonnie began her devotion talking about something I'm sure that you all enjoy: cobwebs. She hates cobwebs. She didn't say anything about the spiders that produce the cobwebs. She just hates cobwebs. She lost track of the countless hours over the years. She uses a rag to wipe the cobwebs off of her ceiling. She hates doing that chore, but she has to do it. And when you look from afar at a cobweb, it looks like it's pretty fine thread. But when you're up close and you're wiping them off, evidently, they get a little bit clumpy, and if you wipe off enough of them, you have a pretty big pile of dirt. Again, remember, this is the executive director of TGRM. She's cleaning cobwebs, and she's open to the message God's given her in that task of the aspect of the dirt and the cobwebs representing the sin and the dirt not just in the residents who live or come to GGRM, but also in all of our lives. As we're living through, it may not seem all that dirty. We may be thinking life is fine, but when there's this cleansing, we can see the clumps of that accumulated sin. And so that's what was the inspiration behind this devotional from Pastor Bonnie at TGRM. The dirt of our sin, the dirt of our past actions, the dirt of our actions and thoughts today, the temptations of the world. And from that, Bonnie referenced Luke chapter 1. In the whole first chapter of Luke, there are the verses that precede what we have read this morning, where the angel Gabriel did appear to Mary and foretold what was going to take place by the will of God. And so remember, the angel Gabriel told Mary she was highly favored and that the Lord was with her. The angel Gabriel told Mary she would be with child, the Son of the Most High. The angel Gabriel told Mary the Holy Spirit would come upon her. The angel Gabriel told Mary that her relative, Elizabeth, would be with child too. It's a lot of news from the angel Gabriel to Mary. And Mary, the scripture says, was greatly troubled by all that she heard from the angel. And Mary responded with that question, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel Gabriel heard Mary's question and assured her that nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. And thus the illustration from the child's message comes into play. Nothing's impossible, so Mary accepted her role as a servant of the Lord. The impossible would be accomplished. Well, having heard the news about her relative Elizabeth, Mary sets off on a visit to Elizabeth's home. The two women are kindred spirits. They were related to one another. Each of them was pregnant at the hand of the Lord, overcoming the realities of Mary being a virgin and Elizabeth being barren. And in the visit between those two women, we read, "Upon hearing Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's baby leaped in her womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth blessed and encouraged Mary, and the impossible would be accomplished." In verse 45, Elizabeth exhorted Mary, "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Mary believed the Lord. And then Pastor Bonnie in the devotional raised this question. Have you who read that devotional, you who are hearing this message, have you experienced a word from God, or have you experienced a calling from God that He has placed upon you, only for your thoughts to be overtaken by doubt, disbelief, or negligence? Doubt and disbelief, we can understand. Negligence? Well, we meant to respond, but then we never got around to it. We kind of forgot and ignored. Instead of letting the world guide her, Mary believed God and found favor in His sight. And then another point of Pastor Bonnie's devotion was about believing. Do we believe in God, or do we believe God? Do we believe in God, or do we believe God? Think about that. Think about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt, when God rescued them in miraculous ways. In Psalm 106, verse 12 and 13, it refers back to their time in the Exodus and how they left. And because of that, it says, "Then they believed His promises and sang His praise." But then unfortunately, some of the dirt of the world crept back in. In verse 13 says, "But they soon forgot what he had done and did not wait for his counsel." Instead of waiting for the counsel of the Lord, they acted on their own. They did not wait for his counsel. They let the world lead rather than the word. As you think about it, that is a very sad verse to read. A sad commentary on the Israelites, and in reality, a sad commentary on ourselves. They soon forgot what God had done, and they did not wait for his counsel. We always must remember what God has done, and we must wait for his counsel. It's in those times that we are called to remember the glory of God, how God has rescued us from, quote, the dirt of the world, the sin, the dirtiness of our sin, to know the power of transformation through the glory of the Lord. So a question: do we believe in God, or are we believing God? Believing in God, it signifies that we have the knowledge of God. We know what the Bible says. We know it. We have that. We know who God is. We know that God exists. But we really don't let that guide our lives. Pastor Bonnie hates cobwebs. I don't hate it, but I really don't like Bible trivia. Every time I've been challenged to play Bible trivia, everybody assumes, since I'm the pastor, I will always win. I don't know the trivia, all the little details. I know quite, you got to ask me the right question and I give you the answer, but, you know, it's not just having knowledge of the Bible. We have to have knowledge coupled with wisdom that comes relying on the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So believing in God is not enough. We have to be like Mary and believe God. Leave out the little in. We have to believe God. We have a faith like Mary, believing what the Lord has said will be accomplished. We believe, we have faith in God. We embrace and we live the Bible. Word before world. So I want you to ponder Elizabeth's description about Mary while also pondering how Mary believed God. Because God is still accomplishing the impossible in our lives and through our lives. To his glory, amen. May you continue to ponder those thoughts as we listen to our morning offering, as our ushers come forward and receive the offerings we give to the Lord. Thank you. Lord God, for the blessings that you shower upon us. We give you thanks and praise, and we share these offerings for the furtherance of your kingdom ministry. In Christ we pray. Amen.
And now let us sing our closing hymn. Our closing hymn is Blessed Assurance. It's found on pages 10 through 11 in your bulletin. And then we will have our spoken benediction after the closing hymn. We will have our, after the spoken benediction, we will have our benediction in song, which is Jesus' Name Above All Names. And that is found on page 11 of your bulletins. So let us sing Blessed Assurance.
Share that Charlene LaFontaine passed out, but she was revived. They're taking her in to be checked out. And Jenny, thanks you for your prayers and your concerns and the people that were here to help. Word before world, knowing that God can do the impossible. And he does that impossible in your lives and through your lives to others. May you be a blessing to him and to all. Amen. Thank you.